Senate will please come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He is here. A quorum is present. We will post the colors, and Senator Ted Farioli will lead us in the pledge. Today's invocation is by our own Senator Joanne Verger.
You may be seated, please. Today is the best day in the whole world to revisit that young man that you've known before, the one that went to the library and got the used book for 50 cents, and then he got home with it and saw all the notations in the margins and decided that he could have written them. Luckily, he found the address, the mailing address of the person that had owned that book before. And he was drafted and went into the military, sent to Germany, and for 10 months he wrote this woman back and forth. Letters that were very friendly and then letters that seemed more like love letters. And then he was coming home. And so they had a plan. Do you remember it? He was going to go to the appointed place at the appointed time, and he would be carrying the book, because that way she could tell him from all the other soldiers. She was going to be wearing a red rose. And when they saw each other, he was to go over and ask her, "Would you like to have dinner with me?" He went to the time and the place, and there walking toward him was the most beautiful girl he had ever seen in all of his life. She said, "Going my way, soldier," but she was not wearing a red rose. But off in the side, in the shadows, was this older woman dressed in an old, battered brown coat. He looked down at the worn shoes, and the stockings were hanging around her ankles, and she wore a little hat with little hairs of gray going out on both sides, and she was wearing a red rose. Now, he could run. After all, she had not seen him. But she was the person that kept him alive. She was the one that he wanted to get back for during all those struggles of war over the last 10 months. And so, very slowly, he walked over and he said, "Would you like to have dinner with me?" And she says, "Look, bub, I don't know what's going on. But that girl, she made me wear this red rose. And she said if you ask me to dinner, she's waiting for you across the street at the restaurant." It was the test, and he passed the test. Today, in our very final hours of this session, we need to know, we need to pass the test, always of doing the right thing.
Thank you, Senator Verger, for your invocation. We will now have a special music performance today from Kegman Cushing, Elizabeth Howe, and Anna Pakenham. They will sing Dona Nobis Pacem, which is Latin for "Give us peace."
Dona nobis pacem, pacem. Dona nobis pacem. Dona nobis pacem, pacem. Dona nobis pacem. Dona
Dona nobis pacem.
Dona Nobis Pacem, in Latin it means give us peace, by Caitlin Cushing, Elizabeth Howe, and Anna Pakenham. Also, Senator Verger, thank you again for your invocation. Thank you, Senator Ted Ferrioli, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Senator Margaret Carter. Senator Margaret Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have a very special guest with me today. His name is Max van der Stichelen, and he's visiting here from the Brussels Management School. He is a business management major currently working on his fifth year, which will have a sustainability emphasis. Because of Oregon's great work in the area of sustainability, he's here 5 weeks to visit different areas in the state and learn from government, business, and individuals what we're doing that is new and obviously very exciting and progressive in green enterprises. Max has been hosted for the month of July by Roberta Moore, a volunteer in my office and who's worked with many different, three different legislatures in this country. She's helping to establish his schedule. If any of you on this floor have projects ongoing or completed in your districts that would give Max an idea why our state is known widely to be a leader in sustainability efforts, my office would be glad to pass on the information to Max and make him available for a visit in your districts. We really want him to go back to the Brussels Management School knowing the great work that is going on in the area of sustainability in our state. Thank you very much, and please take turns coming over and meet him.
Yes. First name again, Margaret. You were moving so fast. What?
Max van der
Max, thanks for coming over from Brussels. Welcome to Oregon. It's a pleasure and honor to have you here. We hope you have a great experience. And we hope that not only will you help Senator Carter, but Senator Carter can also mentor you. So you'll come away thinking good things about the great state of Oregon. Thank you, Max. Extend a courtesy to send it to you. Further courtesies, remonstrances. I'd like to be sure to remind you the posters. He sent it posters there on those four desks. I'd ask that you all, I know that a lot of you signed it. I came back to the building last night and spent I don't know how long because they had hidden them. I had to find them first to sign each and every one of them because otherwise we don't have a single poster that everybody signed. So I know it's tedious. It's a little bit of a chore. This is the sesquicentennial. Sesquicentennial. I just love being able to say it. Senate posters. Those are keepsakes. They are cherished. Posters, not only for you and your staff, but for others, very much in demand. So if you get a chance today, please, if you could sign, sit down and laboriously sit down and patiently put your name, autograph, each and every one of those posters. Thank you for indulging me with that. Message from the House.
Mr. President, this bill must pass House Bill 2477 and Senate Bill 528. Pass following Senate amendments in the House. Senate Bills 93-158, 772. Concurrent Senate amendments repassed. House Bills 2940, 2118, 2167, 2180, 2223, 2500. House Bill 3099, Conference Committee Report adopted. Bill repassed. Senate Bill 767, Conference Committee Report report adopted. Bill repassed. Senate Bill 649, laid on table. Speaker has signed. Senate Bills 5532, 5531, 5523, 5521. 5512, 5510, 973, 971, 796, 670, 570, 119, 64, and 38.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee summary number 160 was distributed to members June 27th, and 161 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of the State's report and so ordered. Reports from special committees. Proposition motion. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 326.
Senator Devlin has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 326. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 326 allows a voter to participate in more than one nominating process for each partisan public officer during a primary election. And it passed the Senate floor, as is, on a unanimous vote of 27 with, I believe, one member absent and two excused. It also passed out of your Rules Committee unanimously. In the House, Senate Bill 326 was amended to allow a candidate to select up to two additional parties who have nominated a candidate for election to appear opposite the candidate's name on the ballot, and to require the Secretary of State to conduct a general review of the cross-nomination process and report to the Legislative Assembly no later than October 1, 2010. Senate Bill 326, as it now stands, passed the House on a vote of 42-17. Colleagues, a bill that you knew as House Bill 2414 was the original bill that this was commonly referred to as Fusion Light was in. The reason that that bill did not move originally out of here in its original form was there were a number of concerns that had been expressed. Those concerns still exist, actually, in their form in which they were inserted into 326. The reality, though, now is if we do not concur with 326, we will lose the bill that passed the Senate unanimously, because there is not time, probably, for a conference committee. It is the intention, if the Senate President wants me to continue as chair of the Rules Committee, it is the intention of the chair of the Rules Committee when we come back into February and to address those problems with what is commonly addressed as Fusion Light. Some of those problems are actually already admitted by the advocates for Fusion Light. Some are problems that I think we need to address, and some of you may have received communications from your county clerks indicating that there is now a concern that they may or may not be able to do this, because when they originally calculated space requirements, they did it on the basis of the name of the current incumbent as Secretary of State, whose name only has a few letters in it. It does not actually account for some of the representatives and some of the senators that we actually have in terms of how long their names are. Again, because the Senate supported the original intent of 326, and because this bill probably would not have time for a conference committee, I recommend that you concur in the amendments and repass 326.
Discussion. Question now, right, final third question. Those of you have opinion, the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 326. I'll answer. Eyes, name, call, opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzinerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Bonamici. Carter. Johnson. Monzinerson. Schrader. Clerk of Eyes.
Senate Bill 326, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Senator Valerie Myers-Sanders, for what purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation, please.
Please file your vote explanation.
Just real briefly, it's not that I'm opposed to the main part of the bill of fusion voting, but I do believe that there are a number of technical problems that should have been taken care of, and I'm not guaranteed the fact that they will not be taken care of in February, and that is why I voted no.
Recognize Senator Martha Schrader.
Thank you. I just want to say for the record I concur with my colleague, Senator Lori Mona Sanderson.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you. Vote explanation. I supported the concepts in the original bill, but do believe it needs to get amended and will support it again when it is amended. Thank you, Mr. President.
Executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction to first reading Senate measures. Second reading Senate measures.
Senate Bill 936, and the State Mention, Mr. Shin, court emergency.
Pass the calendar. Third reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 984, relating to crime.
Senator 984 will be set to the bottom of the calendar forever. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 934 in public barn group Coos Bay Channel Evening.
Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 934 changes the timing of the second and third installments of lottery-backed bonds that have already been authorized to pay the cost of the Coos Bay Channel Deepening Project. The second installment of $15 million in lottery-backed bonds proceeds is extended from July 1, 2009 to July 1, 2011. The third installment of $40 million is extended from July 1, 2011 to July 1, 2013. The extensions reflect the estimated dates when the bond proceeds will be needed for the project. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 961.
934. Senate Bill 934. You said 961.
I apologize. It's 934, Mr. President.
Discussion of the measure. Question now rises upon a third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 934. Those opinion bills pass the alley. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ferrioli. George. George.
Senator George.
Gerard. Hass. Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Martin Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, President Gordon.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 934, I have received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2477, Invasion of Personal Privacy.
Referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 5005, Administration, Department of Corrections, Department of Emergency. House Bill 5006, Administration of Criminal Finance System, County of Emergency. House Bill 5037, Financial Administration, Department of State Police, Department of Emergency. House Bill 5051, Financial Administration, Oregon Authority, Department of Emergency. House Bill 2020, on the basis of species, Department of Emergency. House Bill 2078, on taxation. House Bill 2126, on Department of Human Services, Program Changes Caused by Budget Reductions, Clinton Emergency. House Bill 2216, State Department, State Board of Forestry, Authorization to Acquire Lands, Department of Emergency. House Bill 2245, Related Medical Imaging. House Bill 2376, Related Importing of Economic Benefits Provided by Pharmaceutical Manufacturers. Clinton Emergency. House Bill 2398, Related Workforce Development, Permanent Clinton Emergency. House Bill 2476, Related Sexual Abuse and Permanent Money. House Bill 2586, Related School Libraries. House Bill 2693, School Nursing Services, Clinton Emergency. House Bill 2732, Related Education Collaboration, Clinton Emergency. House Bill 2815, Related to Compliance with Laws, Related to Conduct of Business, Permanent Money, Clinton Emergency. House Bill 2853, Related to Firearms. House Bill 2929, Related Department of State Lands. House Bill 3093, Related to Applied Baccalaureate Degrees, Clinton Emergency. House Bill 3313, Related to Land Use, Clinton Emergency. House Bill 3369, Related to Water Supply Management, Clinton Emergency. House Bill 3480, Related to Chemical Exposures, Members of the Oregon National Guard, Clinton Emergency. House Bill 3483, Related to Unemployment Insurance, Clinton Emergency.
Pass the calendar. Third reading of House measure. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 2749, Related to Music Tax, Device Taxes and Fighting Revenue Raising requires approval by 3/5 majority.
We'll move to the foot of the calendar. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2129, Health Services and Clinton Emergency.
Recognize Senator Alan Bates. Senator Bates, where's Senator Bates? There he is.
Hold on.
What? That's not what I had. Just a minute. Stand at ease, please, Senator Bates. $27.49 went to the foot of the calendar. Again, Senator Bates, would you please carry the measure?
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, rest at ease. This is an easy bill. This is not the one that the majority leader was concerned about. House Bill 2129 resolves statutory conflicts between House Bill 2009, passed for this session, and 22 other health-related bills that have also been approved by the 2009 Legislative Assembly. House Bill 2009 modified more than 1,200 sections of the Oregon Revised Statute. I know you've read all those carefully, and I appreciate your work. Because the other 22 bills reference these statutes, they must also be modified to resolve statutory inconsistencies and differences. For example, House Bill 2009 recognizes the Department of Human Services and ultimately places part of the existing agency under the auspices of the newly established Oregon Health Authority. The other bills, which, when they were approved, referenced DHS, must now be changed to reference the Oregon Health Authority where needed. House Bill 2129 resolves these kinds of statutory conflicts. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends House Bill 2129 be approved. Thank you very much.
Discussion. First, now I on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2129. There's many bills passed. The opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli.
No.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Whitsett. 22 ayes.
House Bill 2129. Having received constitutional majority, is cleared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2208, an Oregon Emergency Assistance for Human Currency.
Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2208 changes the name of the Department of Higher Ed to the Oregon University System. That's kind of the minor thing. But it also, much more importantly, consolidates all agency accounts at the state treasury and pools the cash balances for investment purposes to generate increased investment earnings through stratified investing. The measure would retain for the state the interest earnings on the department cash balance as is currently the case. So there's no change there. Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved of 2208 by a 21-0 vote. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Further discussion, recognize Senator Frank Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the carrier yield to a question, a clarification question only?
Yes.
And my question is, with respect to the interest earnings, it is clear that this bill directs those interest earnings to the general fund account, which would apply to all of the various uses that that general fund might be appropriated to. That is correct?
That is correct.
Thank you to the carrier. And, Mr. President,
yes.
I recognize the momentum behind this bill, but this bill clearly is an insult to higher education and the students and all the fees that go in to support that enterprise. Colleagues, the paltry amount that we appropriate to higher education in this state, and then on top of that, to take the interest earnings from all of the fees that these students pay, and then distribute those earnings to all of the various parts of our state budget that the general fund supports, is dead wrong. It is wrong. It's funding all of the obligations of the state of Oregon on the backs of students. And is that what we want to do? I urge a no vote. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the measure? Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is rare our votes are changed on the floor with floor debate. But my good colleague from Lynn and Benton counties has done so. I agree with him 100%. I'll be a no. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Rod Monroe, do you wish to close?
Oh, I guess I better. First of all, it is current policy that the interest goes to the general fund. That doesn't change anything. Now, philosophically, I would have to agree with those who say that those interest earnings ought to stay with higher ed. But we're in very unusual times, and so after lengthy discussion by your subcommittee on education, it was determined that we would go along with the current practice rather than cut general fund money at a time when we're cutting budgets all over the place. In the future, hopefully, when the economy gets a little better, I will be leading the charge to allow higher ed to keep the interest earnings on their fees. Right now, we need to pass this budget.
Question now arises upon the third reading in the final passage of House Bill 2208. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monson-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Walker. 22 ayes.
The House Bill 2208, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 2214, Forest Products Harvest Taxation and Providing Revenue Raising Requires Approval by Three-Fifths Majority.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2214 extends the temporary harvest tax to forest products harvested in calendar years 2010 and 2011. Revenue from harvest taxes are used to support forest research through Oregon State University's Forest Research Laboratory, to partially fund forest practices, forest fire suppression, and forestry assistance to non-industrial landowners through the Department of Forestry, and to finance the Oregon Forest Resources Institute. We make this tax go a long way, Mr. President. The bill maintains the current 62.5-cent rate that generates funds for payments of benefits related to fire suppression. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved harvest tax rates for the Forest Research Laboratory at 92 cents per 1,000 board feet, 77 cents per 1,000 board feet for forest practices, and an additional 37 cents per 1,000 board feet for field administration, otherwise known as stewardship foresters, of the Oregon Forest Practices Act, or of the Forest Practices Act, excuse me. The rates are repealed on December 31, 2011, so that you can do this all over again next session. The harvest rate tax rates are set at a level to coordinate with the agency-approved budgets and the projected harvest levels. The Department of Forestry projects 6 billion board feet will be harvested in calendar years 2010 and 2011. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends House Bill 2214 be approved.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Mr. President, to announce a potential conflict of interest.
Please do.
Some of the members of the Malheur Timber Operators will pay this tax, and even though I'm currently on furlough from that august organization, I will announce a potential conflict of interest. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Mark Hass.
Mr. President, potential conflict?
Please note your potential conflict.
My employer does business with the Oregon Forest Industries Council.
Your potential
Oregon
conflict of interest
Forest
is now
Resources Institute.
Okay, that is now all on the record. Further discussion? Senator Walker, you want to close?
Nope.
Question right in front. Did you want to call? All right. I don't think we're going to do that. The question now rises upon third reading, the final passage of House Bill 2214. Those who are both passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Pass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Girard, President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Johnson. 30 ayes.
House Bill 2214. I've received the constant majority to declare it passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2231 with peace for water well constructors and corner emergency.
Recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2231 increases the fees for construction of a new well, deepening of an existing well, and conversion of a well to $225 from $125. The bill is expected to generate $800,000 in revenues. The fees are used within the Water Resource Department budget to employ personnel to inspect fees and well construction. There's been a couple of questions that have been brought up. The last time the fees were increased for this program was in 2003, raising from $75 to $125. And then this bill, if passes, will increase it to $225. And does this bill represent an increase in staff? And as I understand it, no. The staffing level for this program has remained constant since 1977 at 10.88 FTEs. The positions include 6 well inspectors, 1 well construction specialist, 1 staff hydrogeologist, and 2 data entry persons. The remainder is in several positions within the administrative division. The co-chairs of the committee worked very hard on this, and these fee bills, particularly in water, are very difficult. But we did not want to gut the agency, and this is the reason why these fee increases are before you. I ask your approval of House Bill 2231 as amended.
Further discussion? Question on right upon third reading and final passage, House Bill 2231. Those opinion bills pass. The allies opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munzenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 19 ayes.
House Bill 2231, having received the constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2232, on drilling geotechnical holes for every Monday clear emergency.
Recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2232 requires persons who drill a certain type of geotechnical holes to submit a report to the Water Resource Department within 30 days of drilling and sets a recording fee of $25. If more than one geotechnical hole is drilled within 7 days, an additional $10 fee applies. The bill is expected to generate $135,000 in revenues. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2232 as amended.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Mr. President, I did not intend to speak on this bill.
Is anybody else not intending to speak on the bill? Senator Nelson, do you wish to close? Question not raised on the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2232. Those opinion bills pass. The allies opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Munzenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer. 21 ayes.
House Bill 2232, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2287, amended courts, appropriate money, declaring an emergency and providing for revenue raising requires approval by a 3/5 majority.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do intend to speak on this bill. House Bill 2287 extends the sunset on existing filing fee surcharges from June 30, 2009 to September 30, 2009 and establishes temporary surcharges and fees effective October 1, 2009 through June 30, 2011. The bill creates a judicial system surcharge account. All surcharge and fee revenue collected from July 1, 2009 through June 30, 2011 are to be deposited into this new account.
Fees raised by local justice of the peace, municipal, and county courts are retained by those courts. The measure is anticipated to generate $39.5 million in revenue. The revenue raised by this measure will be used to partially restore general fund budget reductions in the Judicial Department and Public Defense Services Commission. Some of the key services that would be restored using this revenue include things you all love: drug courts, the Citizen Review Board, court referees, pretrial release programs, and pro se facilitation and mediation services. The revenue would also restore trial-level indigent defense to prevent service cuts in the last 6 weeks of the 2009-11 biennium. The bill provides for an initial distribution of up to $10 million from the judicial system surcharge account, contingent on funds being available in the account. 65% of these funds would go to the Judicial Department and 35% to the Public Defense Services Commission. The balance will be distributed by the legislature in February of 2010, so already we're putting things on your calendar. The bill establishes an interim committee on state judicial system revenues. The committee will make recommendations on Judicial Department fees, fines, and surcharges, and recommend distribution in February 2010 of the temporary fee and surcharge revenue. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2287 as amended.
Discussion on the measure. Question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of House Bill 2287. Those opinion bills pass. Say others. Opposed? No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin,
Mr. Devlin,
Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, 23 ayes.
House Bill 2287, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 3259, Oregon Health Plan and Declared Emergency.
Recognize Senator Alan Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3259 is a consensus bill reached between the Medicaid Managed Care Plans and the Hospital Association. It establishes the non-participating or non-PAR reimbursement rate that Medicaid Managed Care Plans must pay the hospitals for the provision of hospital services to Medicaid Managed Care enrollees in the event that a hospital plan did not have a contract with each other. And the measure sets the non-PAR reimbursement rate at 2 percentage points less than the percentage of Medicare costs by the Department of Human Services in calculating the base hospital reimbursement component embedded in capitation payments to the Medicaid Managed Care Plans. The base hospital reimbursement component excludes any supplemental payments such as those paid to reimburse hospitals for provider assessment payments made under House Bill 2116. This non-PAR rate sunsets on January 2, 2014. It will also lead to a robust discussion between the Medicaid Managed Care Plans and the Hospital Association concerning Medicare reimbursement based on Medicare methodology, as well as trying to raise the participation rate to 90% from 85% for Medicaid managed care plans with their hospitals. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion? Question arises by 30 and final passage of House Bill 3259. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Boquist. Wayne and Ayes.
House Bill 3259, having six constitutional is cleared, passed. Move the following bill to the bottom of the calendar. Read the bill, please. No, this is the one I want.
I'll take that one back.
No.
No.
Yeah.
House Bill 3401, Public Employee Retirement and Court Emergency.
I move to the foot of the calendar. Senator Devlin.
President, Senate colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 20-minute caucus to get the next bills that are coming up, and we will meet immediately in the caucus room.
Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans just need a 19-minute caucus in our caucus room upstairs. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senate will be in recess to 2 o'clock. No, I don't want to do that. Senate will be in recess until 1:50. Senator, will please come to order. Clerk, call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monsenderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
We got more than 16. We got at least. Okay, we're there, right? Well, you got Nelson just came on. Hey, quorum being present. The Senate recessed under the order of third reading of the House measures and will resume under that order. It is so ordered. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 3401, Republican Employee Retirement Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Martha Schrader.
Colleague, House Bill 3401 allows a public employer participating in the public employee's retirement system to request that excess site account amounts be applied to offset employer contributions to the individual account program. Site accounts are used to capture lump sum payments employers make to PERS to pre-fund their employer obligations. The bill directs PERS to seek a ruling from the Internal Revenue Service to ensure that this use of site accounts would not cause the system to lose its status as a qualified governmental retirement plan and trust under federal tax laws. The IRS ruling is expected to take at least 1 year, and if the ruling is favorable, the agency will return to the legislature to address fiscal impacts associated with implementing provisions of the bill. The extent to which this bill would help employers will depend on site account balances and whether or not they constitute a surplus. As of December 2008, 142 employers had established site accounts. The Joint Whip Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 3401.
Further discussion? Question on the rise of the reading of final passage of House Bill 3401. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering, Monroe. Excused, Przonski, absent, Monroe. Voting no, Gerard, Cruz, Whitsett. 25 ayes.
The House Bill 3401, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. I move that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take final action on supplemental list number one.
Sir, Richard Devlin, let's move the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take action on supplemental list number one. Explain.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the place we're at in this session now. We're getting down to the final bills. We need to act on these.
If there are no objections, it is so ordered. Without objection, the Senate will revert to the order of third reading of Senate measures. It is so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 936, from the State Financial Administration, Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 936 directs the Department of Human Services, Administrative Services, Consumer and Business Services, and the Office of Private Health Partnerships to continue paying the costs of programs that are transferred to the Oregon Health Authority when House Bill 2009 is signed into law. House Bill 2009 establishes the Oregon Health Authority and immediately upon passage of that measure transfers a variety of health-related programs, duties, and functions from existing agencies to the authority. As a practical matter, however, the Oregon Health Authority cannot begin functioning until it has a director, a budget, and support staff to manage these programs. House Bill 936 clarifies that the existing agencies which currently administer these programs will continue to pay costs for the 2009-11 biennium for functions that have been transferred to the authority. When the Oregon Health Authority is fully prepared to manage these programs, the legislature can provide a budget and the authority can itself begin to pay program costs. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends that Senate Bill 936 be approved.
Discussion. Question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 936. Those opinion bills passed. The others opposed. No, clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montanerson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Monroe.
Senator Monroe? I don't know where he is. Move on.
Absent. Monroe. Voting no. Atkinson. George. Cruz. Starr. Quick advice.
The Senate Bill 936, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, the Senate will revert to the order of third reading of House measures. It is so ordered. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 5005, Infection Administration, Department of Corrections, Program of Incumbency.
Recognize Senator Joanne Virgin.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 5005 is the budget bill for the Department of Corrections. The agency has two primary functions, the incarceration and delivery of related programs for over 14,000 inmates and the 14 prison facilities, and the state activities for the community corrections programs, which is responsible for over 35,000 offenders across the state. The committee recommends a 2009-11 budget for the Department of Corrections of $1.31 billion general fund and $1.46 billion total funds. The budget was updated based on the April 2009 forecast. The corrections budget is driven by two factors, both generally out of the control of the agency: sentencing laws and employee compensation. This budget assumes continued growth of over 12% in the prison population, including the new measure 57 offenders. The total funds budget is 1.9% less than the essential budget level, but this includes the impact of Measure 57, which was not part of the EBL. When factoring out the $73 million cost of Measure 57, the recommended budget is 7% less than EBL. The general fund budget is almost 10% less than EBL, but a large share of that reduction is due to the one-time shift to federal funding by backlift filling general fund with $103 million of federal stimulus funding. The agency avoids opening new facilities and units to house the new Measure 57 offenders by using temporary beds across the system in existing space and units. This also provides the opportunity for delaying the decision to move forward with the planning and construction of a new prison in Junction City. The budget does assume infrastructure development, wetland mitigation, and other costs at the Junction City site, but only that based on the need and schedule of the new state hospital planned for the same site. This budget assumes the passage of House Bill 2290 or House Bill 3508, which make a number of sentencing changes that reduce the community corrections caseload. Savings of $20.8 million are generated by these savings. Further community correction savings are realized from the new forecast estimates, which show a downward trend in the base forecast. The committee made a number of reductions totaling over $60 million, including the delays in the opening of the medium security facility in Madras and the medium expansion at Shutter Creek. Reductions in positions and other costs in the support functions of the agency, and $20 million in unspecified cuts in the operations division. In addition, a net $6.9 million in savings is generated by transferring training of correction officers from DPSST to DOC. If House Bill 5055 passes, the budget for the Department of Corrections is a further adjusted, reflecting policy changes in House Bill 3508. Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends passage of House Bill 5005.
Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5005A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Whitsett. 24 ayes.
House Bill 5005A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5006, Administration of Criminal Fine Assessment Account and Clear Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
House Bill 5006 is the allocation bill for the distribution of criminal fines and assessment revenues to various agencies. Revenues are collected from fines, assessments, and other financial penalties relating to felonies, misdemeanors, and non-parking-related violations. Total available revenues to distribute are estimated at $114.5 million for the 09-11. This bill distributes this revenue with $63.6 million designated for the general fund and $50.9 million allocated to various public safety programs. The related expenditure limitations for these allocations are in the agency budget bills. The allocations include $29.2 million for the training of public safety personnel and other activities of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, including the Public Safety Memorial Fund. Almost $18.7 million is allocated to the Department of Justice for Crime Victims Program, including the Criminal Injuries Compensation Account and the Child Abuse Multidisciplinary Intervention, or CAMI, program. Another $3.1 million is for programs at the Department of Human Services, including domestic violence and sexual assault programs, and the Emergency Medical Services and Trauma Systems Program. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5006.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I note in the bill summary that accompanied this bill, it's about 63.6 million of the dollars that are being assessed in the criminal fine and assessment account are being rolled into the general fund. So this just appears to be a ripoff of the account, Mr. President. So I'll be voting no.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Now the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 5006A. Those who are the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson. Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, 25 ayes.
House Bill 5006, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5037, Defense Administration, Department of State Police, for viewing emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
House Bill 5037 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Police. This agency has a variety of responsibilities, which include enforcing traffic safety laws on state roads, operating the only full-service forensic lab system in the state, assisting local public safety agencies in drug and major crime investigations, maintaining information on fingerprints and criminal background checks, and enforcing fish and game regulations. The committee recommends a 2009-11 budget for the Oregon State Police of $236.8 million general fund and $350.4 million total funds. The budget assumes that the 39 troopers originally approved for 2007-09 will be phased in during the 2009-11, starting in July 2010, achieving 24/7 coverage. The criminal division loses 29 positions who are detectives investigating ID theft, drug, and major crime cases. The loss of these positions may cause bumping of recently hired troopers in the patrol division. Almost all of the troopers in the Fish and Wildlife Division that would have been eliminated earlier in the budget process were restored through a combination of existing fund balances, additional use of other funds and federal funds, and substituting ODF&W resources to pay for the division's share of central agency costs. The Forensics Division is reduced by $4.5 million, leading to the elimination of 18 crime lab positions. As a result, tests requested by public safety agencies across the state could be delayed. If House Bill 5055 passes, the reductions to the forensics and criminal positions are largely restored. Funding for the Identification Services Unit will be almost entirely shifted to fee-generated other funds, saving over $4.6 million general fund. The agency is instructed to report back to the 2011 legislature on what a fee structure would need to be to sustain the program long term. The committee recommends $3.5 million general fund for staff and other costs to continue the Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network, or the OWIN project. The capital construction bill contains over $187 million in other funds limitation for completion of the second and third phases of the project. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends passage of House Bill 5037.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5037A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Brzezinski. Aye. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. President Courtney. Voting no. Atkinson. George. Starr. 27 ayes.
House Bill 5037A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5051, Financial Administration, Oregon Authority, Permanent Currency.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
House Bill 5051 is the budget bill for the Oregon Youth Authority. This agency is charged with protecting the public and reducing crime by holding youth offenders accountable and providing opportunities for reformation. The agency provides services through a statewide network of state facilities, state employees, counties, and other contracted community providers. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a budget of $259.5 million general fund, $305.7 million total funds, and 1,050.63 full-time equivalent positions. The funding level is less than 1% over that than the 2007-09 legislative approved budget. The budget contains a series of program reductions, including elimination of all caseload growth and capacity originally scheduled to start up in 2009, the closure of the Eastern Oregon Youth Facility in Burns, and close custody bed reductions in Willamette Valley facilities, reductions in community placements and foster care beds, reductions in juvenile crime prevention, diversion, and gang programs, reductions in central office staffing. These changes leave the agency with a closed custody bed capacity of 774 beds, down from the 925 originally budgeted as of January 2009. Foster care and community placement slots total 555, also down from January 2009's budget level of 623. The committee noted that the reductions taken in this budget will deeply impact the juvenile justice system and are not desirable. However, the subcommittee recognized that Oregon law provides more discretion for determining the level of services provided for youth offenders, especially in comparison to the adult correction system. The committee discussed the agency's lack of progress toward targets on some of its performance measures, but noted that with the reduced level of resources in this budget, the agency is not likely to see improvements in the near future. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5051.
Further discussion? That question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5051A. Those are the opinion. The bill should pass. We'll answer. Ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monzenderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski. President Courtney. Excuse, Przonski, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, George, 26 ayes.
House Bill 5051A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2020, Invasive Species Permanent Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2020 is not your eyesight. It is a bill that establishes an invasive species control account and authorizes expenditures from the account to provide grants to eradicate or control new infestations and infections of invasive species. The measure permits expenditures from the all-terrain vehicle account of the Parks and Recreation Department Fund to include expenditures for invasive species related to all-terrain vehicle recreation. The All-Terrain Vehicle Advisory Committee has recommended and the Parks Commission has approved grants from the fund for washdown stations for all-terrain vehicles as one of the measures to alleviate the invasive species issues related to ATVs, which is why we have a nexus here with the money. This measure would extend the authority to the Invasive Species Council. The measure transfers $350,000 from the ATV account and establishes an expenditure limitation of $350,000 in the Department of Agriculture to enable expenditure by the council. Invasive species are a problem all across our state, colleagues. These folks had asked for $5 million, whittled it down to two, and then we gave them $350,000 as seed money, so to speak, so that we can hopefully pull in some other grants and federal funds because invasive species, as you know, are a problem statewide. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2020 as amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Mr. President, to the bill.
To the bill.
Mr. President, I rise in strong opposition to the bill. If you look at page 3 of the bill, line 25, it says control and eradication of invasive species related to all-terrain vehicle recreation. Mr. President, this is a fund sweep, and there's no nexus between ATV use and this. This is simply a place where there's some available funds. As has been the custom in the last 6 years, there is a tremendous fight between the Oregon Department of Parks and this fund. This fund is constantly trying to be raided, and the rider users groups always come to the defense, and it's always a big hot political issue because they don't want their funds being taken. And so here they are, now they're being taken for the invasive species control account, not for what their fees and permits and for what the whole rider badge sticker program is used for. There will be a tremendous amount of outrage if this bill is passed by the very people that have worked so hard as volunteers to work on conservation of forests, to buying pieces of property and make sure they're maintained, and to being a good neighbor with the cities that are adjacent to those properties. This bill, I do not see a nexus. I don't believe ATV users see a nexus, and I would urge a no vote.
Chair recognizes Senator Mona Sanderson.
Colleagues, I'd like to cite an example. City of Fairview had 15 acres of land just in the last couple of weeks that had overgrowth up to 5 feet of blackberries and a lot of invasive species. They had volunteers trying to clear it. It didn't work. And what they did is they got 240 goats. And within 4 days, all 15 acres were cleared. This fund is something that could be used to clear 15 acres of parks lands. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please state your conflict.
I have a client that has a nonprofit with goats to do just this thing. So.
We got it. Further discussion? Senator Walker, do you want to close?
Well, Mr. Chair, I love the conversation about goats. I thought that was a great story. There is a nexus here. The ATV riders go all over the state. They come in from out of state for competitions and to do what they do. They carry the invasive species from one end of the state to the other. And as one of my colleagues on our great subcommittee said, give me a good nexus and a good relating clause, and we can save the world. I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Question now rises. Third reading, final passage of House Bill 2020B. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, President Courtney, excused. Excused, Przonski, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Morse, Telfer, Whitsett, 18 ayes.
House Bill 2020B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2078 on taxation.
Chair recognizes Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2078 establishes a connection date of May 1st, 2009 to the federal definition of taxable income and most other provisions. Due to passage of House Bill 2157 during the 2009 session, Oregon does not currently have a rolling reconnect to the federal code, but is instead tied to federal law as it existed on December 31st, 2008. This measure also eliminates the tax credit for gasoline hybrid automobiles and refines the definition related to the biomass tax credit, creating a certification program within the Department of Energy for the biomass tax credit. The Joint Ways and Means Committee recommends approval of House Bill 2078.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Declare a potential conflict in that, as a CPA, passage of this bill will dramatically increase my revenues for next tax season.
Further discussion? If not, the question now rises on third reading of final passage of House Bill 2078A. Those are the opinion the bill should pass. Will answer aye. Your names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr. Telfer. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson,
Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, President Courtney, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
House Bill 2078A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2126, when DHS program changes caused by budget reductions, code emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Alan Dr. Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2126 makes necessary statutory changes that will allow certain program reductions assume the development of the Department of Human Services primary budget bill, Senate Bill 5529, to be implemented. Specifically, the committee adopted amendments that allow DHS to implement prior authorization for non-mental health prescription paid for under fee-for-service reimbursement, make reductions to the Oregon Health Plan if insufficient resources exist to continue the current program, and those reductions are made as part of the legislatively adopted or approved budget, limit the administrative and property expenses components of nursing facility allowable costs that are reimbursed in accordance with the nursing facility provider tax, and implement reductions in the temporary assistance for needy families TANF program. In addition, these measures reduces the allocation of lottery funds for the Ministry of Services Economic Development Fund to the Problem Gambling Treatment Fund and DHS by $2.1 million. Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends House Bill 2126 be approved.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please declare your conflict.
I have interest in assisted care facilities.
Thank you, Senator. It will be noted for the record. Chair recognizes Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to declare a possible conflict of interest.
Please declare your conflict.
I have a daughter, an immediate family member who is a nurse in a nursing home situation, which may be affected by the bill.
Thank you, Senator. It will be noted for the record. Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2126A. Those are of the opinion the bill should pass once. Their ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas, Johnson,
aye.
Cruz, Metzger, Montzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, President Courtney, not answering, Boquist.
House Bill 2126A. Have received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2216, State Board of Forestry Authorization Acquire Lands, Preventing Code Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, House Bill 2216 updates statutory language relating to the bonding mechanisms available to the Board and Department of Forestry. It authorizes the Board of Forestry to accept title to lands that may have easements and or other encumbrances. It creates a Forest Acquisition County Reimbursement Fund and removes the annual ceiling on bonding authority. The Board of Forestry has an opportunity to acquire about 95,000 acres of forest land near Gilchrist in Klamath County. The Board's bonding authorities, currently decades old, require updating to make this or other potential acquisitions feasible. Eventually, the lands will provide a revenue stream for local economies in Klamath County, as well as cover operating costs. The Forest Acquisition County Reimbursement Fund will consist of the state share of timber harvest revenue distributed by formula established in statute. The fund will be used to reimburse the county for the loss of tax revenue from acquired lands after this measure becomes law, unless the county share of the distribution formula equals or exceeds the amount of tax revenue. Lottery-backed revenue bonds were authorized in Senate Bill 5535 towards the purchase of these lands. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means amended the bill, removing references to lottery bonds. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends House Bill 2216 be approved.
Further discussion. Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just find it interesting. First, we're taking away the Klamath River dams, then we're buying up Klamath County. What's going to be left?
Is there further discussion? Question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2216B. Those are the opinions of the bill. Should pass. Unless their ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Berger.
Taking the next one.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munzenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
House Bill 2216B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2245, on medical imaging and prescribing effective date.
Chair recognizes Senator Alan Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2245 changes the name of the Board of Radiological Technology to the Board of Medical Imaging, expands the categories of medical imaging that are subject to licensing, and establishes oversight of X-ray machine operator permit examinations. The bill was amended to delay the implementation date to July 1, 2010. This will provide the Board with time to prepare for the requirements of the bill. The Board can seek expenditure limitation and position authority from a supplemental session of the legislature. The bill was returned to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means to add two provisions which clarify licensing requirements and applicant supervision. The bill was also amended to resolve conflicts with Senate Bill 177. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2245.
Further discussion? Not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2245C. Those are the opinions. The bill should pass. Once their ayes and names are called, those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munzenderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, President Courtney. Voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, Telfer, 27 ayes.
House Bill 2245C, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk. Without objection, House Bill 2376 will be moved to the foot of the calendar. Senator Ferrioli has objected. We'll be at ease for a moment. Okay. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. I move to place on the table House Bill 2376.
Senator Devlin has moved that House Bill 2376 be laid on the table. The motion is not debatable. So the question is on laying House Bill 2376 on the table. This will be a roll call vote. All those in favor of placing House Bill 2376 on the table will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. President Courtney. Voting no. Atkinson. Ferrioli. George. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Cruz. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. Winters. 17 ayes.
House Bill 2376B has been laid on the table. Nick, for the purposes of the record, we never actually read the bill before the initial motion was made. So just for the record, would you read the relating clause to House Bill 2376?
House Bill 2376, relating to reporting of economic benefits provided by pharmaceutical manufacturers to declare emergency.
Thank you. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2398, relating to workforce development and preparedness to declare emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2398 creates the Oregon Career Readiness Certification Program within the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. The program will certify the workplace and college readiness skills of Oregonians. This will help Oregonians prepare for continued education and workforce training with the goal of successful employment and career advancement. The bill also creates a program to promote work experience and education for high school juniors and seniors. CCWD will make grants for pilot youth employment projects. The budget for CCWD includes $3.35 million in federal funds for these programs. The Ways and Means Committee recommends approval of House Bill 2398.
Further discussion? Not the question now rises. Third reading, final passage of House Bill 2398A. Those are the opinion. The bill should pass. Answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. President Courtney. Voting no. Boquist. 29 ayes.
House Bill 2398A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2476, on sexual abuse and money.
Chair recognizes Senator Winters.
Mr. President, 2476, relating to sexual abuse. This bill provides a sentencing enhancement in the case of sexual abuse in the second degree when the offender is over 21 years of age and is or has been the coach of the victim. The bill also designates sexual abuse in the second degree a Class C felony with a crime seriousness level of 8 when committed under these circumstances. An offender would most likely receive a 3-year probation sentence. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommend approval of House Bill 2476 and get rid of the abusers.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2476A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass once, or ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Munson-Anderson. Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney. 30 ayes.
House Bill 2476A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2586, Winnie School Libraries.
Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2586 permits the Department of Education to award grants to school districts, education service districts, youth correction education programs, and juvenile detention education programs for school library programs. In addition, the bill requires local districts' continuous improvement plans to include goal of implementing a strong school library program. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2586.
Is there further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading. Final passage of House Bill 2586. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass once, or ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munson-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
House Bill 2586, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2693, the School Nursing Services Clear Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2693 requires a school district to ensure that it has a specific ratio of nursing personnel to medically complex students, medically fragile students, and nursing-dependent students. The bill encourages school districts to have one registered nurse or school nurse for every 750 students in the school district. The bill requires the Department of Education to submit an annual report to the State Board of Education, to the interim legislative committees related to education, the number of nurses in each school district, the number of medically complex students, medically fragile students, and nursing-dependent students in each school district by October 1st of each year. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2693 as amended.
Thank you. Chair recognizes Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Out of an abundance of caution, I will announce a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
I have a daughter who is in the nursing profession, may be engaged in nursing school in the future or teaching. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Currently, Oregon ranks 49th in the nation for student-to-school nurse ratio. And unfortunately, it's going to cost us a lot of money if we're going to get a decent program through. This is a good step getting there. The availability of school nurses is severely limited, putting our students at great risk. I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2693B. Those are the opinion the bill shall pass once. Their ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz, Metzger, Monzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett.
They want to be recognized for some reason or another.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. President Courtney. Voting no. Boquist, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2693B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed.
Senator Lorimani Sands, what purpose do you rise?
I think I may have a conflict on the last bill and should have stated it.
Senator Lorimani Sands is asking for unanimous consent to suspend the rules, allow her to enter a potential conflict of interest on House Bill 2586. Any objections? No. Which bill is, which one?
It's 2693.
On 2693. Any objections? Please file your potential conflict of interest in House Bill 2693.
I'm a nurse. I was a school nurse, and I could be doing something in the future that has to do with school nursing.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, return the order of courtesies.
Okay, this could get interesting. All right, let's go to the order of courtesies.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, I don't know if they're still in the gallery, but I'd just like to welcome some friends, Zoe, Marie, and Oscar, if you could extend courtesies to them. Thank you very much.
What was the first name, Rose?
Zoe.
Zoe, Marie, and Oscar.
They might be gone by now, but
well,
thank
Zoe,
you very
Marie,
much.
Well, Zoe, Marie, and Oscar, wherever you are. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you're enjoying Oregon's weather. I'd like to extend a courtesy sent it to you. While we're under courtesies, I'd like to have your attention. One of our colleagues will need to leave now and probably will not be returning before we say goodbye to each other. One of his partners has fallen very seriously ill in Baker City. At 3 o'clock, Senator Brian Boquist will be leaving us. So I do want to say it's been a real pleasure, Brian, to serve with you. This is your first term in the Oregon State Senate. You and I go way, way back. I do wish you could stay because as some of you members will find out, I usually do something before I say goodbye to all of you. But I regret you will not be with us when we finally open the doors and bring down the gavel. You've had a very good session, Brian, and you and your wife, I know, are struggling with a medical crisis. But it's been a real privilege to have you as a member of this Senate during the sesquicentennial, the 75th biennial session. And we'll be thinking of you as we wind down. So, Brian, Senator Boquist, you've done good. It's an honor and privilege. And we regret that you can't stay with us a little bit longer, but we all understand. So good job, big guy. Good job.
Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2732, an education collaboration, declared emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2732 creates the Career and Technical Education Collaborative Task Force and designates membership. The bill requires that this task force identify collaborations and partnerships among schools, community colleges, labor, business and industry related to career and technical education. The bill requires the task force to identify existing collaborations and to make recommendations regarding increasing collaborative efforts and using partnerships for the purpose of sharing facilities, resources, and developing a high-skill, high-wage, sustainable workforce. This task force is required to submit a plan no later than October 2010, and at the beginning of the next session, this task force is repealed. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
I'm not sure how many task forces we need to have on career and technical education. It seems like we have one every session. Notwithstanding, if you want a task force, I'll give it to you. Thank you.
Question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2732B. Those are the opinion the bill should pass. Will answer aye. Names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, George, 27 ayes.
House Bill 2732B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2815, with compliance with laws relating to the conduct of business, public medical emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2815 establishes an interagency compliance network to enforce compliance under taxation, employment, and independent contractor laws. In particular, activities under the bill would focus on Oregon's underground economy, where millions of dollars are lost to the state when employees are paid in cash to avoid the payment of taxes and workers' compensation fees. Legitimate businesses and contractors are also disadvantaged when bidding for jobs against those who do not comply with these laws. The network consists of the Department of Justice, Department of Revenue, the Employment Department, the Department of Consumer and Business Services, the Bureau of Labor and Industries, the Construction Contractors Board, and the State Landscape Contractors Board, with other agencies able to participate as needed. The bill also eliminates statutory barriers to information sharing among these agencies. The bill establishes a $750,000 special purpose appropriation in the emergency fund to be used as seed money for the program. A budget note directs the members of the network to complete an interagency agreement and a work plan before reporting back to the legislature to request a funding allocation. The program will be funded in future biennia by a portion of the dollars recovered through increased compliance. Based on experiences in other states, network efforts are estimated to collect $7.6 million in 2009-11. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommend approval of House Bill 2815 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, to the bill.
To the bill.
And, Mr. President, I ask to have unanimous consent to read from printed material.
There's no objection. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank our colleague on the House side, Representative Hovey. He is the one that actually was the person that brought this forward. He and I talked about this over the interim. He and I have a constituent in Eugene, and also Senator Walker also knows of this individual. Very legitimate business person that has always seen his business being undercut by people underbidding jobs that he's doing in the construction area. What it came out to be is that these individuals are paying under the table, so you have this table under the table economy that's occurring. And for those who are not familiar with a report that was written, if you have a copy of the Oregon Business April 2009 magazine, you can go to the article that's within on page 36 is the start of it, called The Vast Underground Economy. When you turn to the next page, there's actually a diagram that they've put in there to show what the breakout is for the economy for Oregon, and there's a projected $15 billion, that's with a B, Mr. President, underground economy right now where people not properly reporting the income. And so that in itself actually undercuts the ability for us to pay for the services that people in this state have wanted and are still wanting to us to provide. And we can see just in our current economic situation how that $1.25 billion could actually, that's not being collected, could actually be offsetting a lot of the expenses that we have for today. So I think the beauty of this is to know what has happened in Washington State, where they have done this. They broke down the silos that are statutory in place here to allow these agencies that need to be able to communicate with each other to be able to do so. They can then work together and actually, as the carrier of this bill said, bring in somewhere around $7 million that will be coming in, only to see that in the next biennium that we'll see a recovery of close to $24 million, and then this subsequent biennium, it's estimated to be over $30 million. So these are ways that we can make certain legitimate businesses can stay in business, that they don't have to worry about people undercutting them, and those who should be paying their fair share will do so. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator Carter, you wish to close? She does not. Question now rises on third reading, final passage. House Bill 2815. Those are the opinion of the bill should pass. Once her eyes, her names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist. Absent, Boquist. President Courtney. Absent, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, 22 ayes.
Senator George, you need to be recognized before the gavel.
Vote explanation.
Hold on. House Bill 2815C, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Now the chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to file a vote explanation. Colleagues, you know that I believe that privacy is one of the most important issues that it is our responsibility to protect. If you'll notice, throughout the bill, it talks about gathering and sharing information between agencies. Lines 18, gather and share information. Line 20, gather and share information. It goes on and on. This is a massive database bill, and it makes me very nervous that we're giving the state the ability to do that without proper sideboards that I think should be built in for this type of information gathering, and that's why I voted no. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Clerk, will read the next bill.
House Bill 2853 and Firearms.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Well, Annie Oakley, I'm not, but House Bill 2853 requires the Department of Human Services, the Psychiatric Security Review Board, and the Oregon Judicial Department to provide information to the Oregon State Police to comply with federal firearms law, which requires states to identify certain persons prohibited from possessing firearms. These are persons who have been determined by a court to be mentally ill, mentally retarded, or to lack fitness, prohibited from purchasing or possessing firearms pursuant to a court order, found guilty of a crime but insane, found responsible for an act but insane, or committed pursuant to civil process based on a court's finding of, quote, danger to self or others, unquote. The bill also requires the PSRB, the Psychiatric Security Review Board, to receive petitions and conduct hearings for relief from persons subject to a firearms ban. There is a fiscal impact of about $500,000 a biennium for this provision of the bill, as well as costs related to information sharing activities. Since the bill provides that program implementation is contingent on funding, agency fiscal impacts will be addressed when dollars become available. This could be as soon as later this year if a federal grant application is successful. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2853 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
I'd like to speak to the bill, Mr. President.
Please do.
I just want to know, and any listening to know, that my position on this bill has no impact at all on my strong belief in the right to bear arms. This addresses a very small group of very mentally ill people who have been through the court system. It certainly is not trying to take the rights away from people to bear arms, which I strongly believe in.
Is there further discussion? Not question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2853. She wants to close. I'm sorry, Senator Walker, please close.
Thank you. Because I wanted to make that very clear as well. I support the Second Amendment, Mr. Chair, members. This simply is something that is necessary from the federal government. One of the firearms associations is neutral, one is not, but this bill is absolutely necessary in order for us to continue the Byrne JAG grant funding that comes to Oregon to help us on many issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2853B. Those are the opinion of the bill to pass. When answer aye, their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney. Not answering, Telfer. Absent, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Johnson, Cruz, Starr, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
House Bill 2853B, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Senator Przonski, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, vote explanation.
Please proceed.
Mr. President, I voted yes on this bill because it is actually, as the one of the other speakers said, is very limited to those individuals who have actually been adjudicated through our court system and found to be mentally incompetent. These individuals have been determined through the court system that they are not competent to have and bear arms. Does not have any bearing on any other individuals that want to carry and bear arms, and I support and continue to support. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2929, Department of State Lands.
Chair recognizes Senator Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2929 authorizes the Department of State Lands to apply for and receive any private or federal grants, loans, or other funds available for purposes of conducting studies relating to the permitting issues related to removal and fill. The measure also authorized the agency to establish by rule a volume-based fee for commercial removal of sand and gravel from waters of the state for use in administering provisions of the removal fill law, and to use common school funds for studies necessary to determine if a particular river is A-grading, D-grading, or in equilibrium. The measure requires the agency to study the feasibility of creating a single permit for the removal of sand and gravel from the waters of the state and report to the Interim Legislative Environment and Natural Resource Committee the status in March of 2010, and our final report in November of 2010. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means discussed the prudence of using common school resources for the removal of fill studies and noted the law is permissive and not mandated. The subcommittee also noted that if no grant funding is available, the volume-based fee for removal fill permits would be approximately 80 cents per cubic yard in order for the agency to recuperate all the costs. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends House Bill 2929 as amended be approved.
Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2929A. Those are the opinion of the bill should pass. When answer aye, their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney. Absent. Boquist. Voting no. Atkinson. 28 ayes.
House Bill 2929, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Morris, for what purpose do you rise?
My apologies, Mr. President. I have a material potential conflict of interest on the bill that we had just adopted, and that needs to be clear in the record.
Okay, is there any objection? There is no objection, so please state your conflict.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have business interests for which this bill has direct bearing in the waters of the state down on the southwest coast. Thank you, Madam President.
So noted. Thank you. Senator Morissette.
Courtesies, Madam.
If there's no objection, we will return to courtesies.
Madam Speaker, State Treasurer Ben Westland just joined us in the gallery. Ben, would you please stand up? Please extend a welcome to State Treasurer Ben Wilk.
Courtesies are extended to you, State Treasurer. All right. With that, we will resume the agenda. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3093, Applied Baccalaureate Degrees, declare emergency.
Recognize Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Madam President. House Bill 3093 requires the joint boards of education to develop a plan offering applied baccalaureate degree program at community colleges and at state institutions of higher education. The bill requires the boards to consider offering four types of applied baccalaureate degree programs: career ladder program, inverse program, management ladder program, and work experience program. The bill then requires the boards to submit a report with proposed legislation to the Interim Committee on Higher Education prior to November 1st, 2010. I urge your aye vote.
Seeing no further discussion, the question now arises, upon three reading, final passage of House Bill 3093A, those of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munzenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Boquist, 29 ayes.
House Bill 3093, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. For what reason do you want the floor, Senator Telfer?
Oh, me. Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to request permission to change my vote on House Bill 2853. It will not affect the outcome of the vote.
Is there any objection to have Senator Telfer change her vote on House Bill 2853? Seeing none, how do you vote?
No.
So noted for the record. All right, clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3313, okay. Land Use Declare Emergency.
Recognize Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Madam President. House Bill 3313 amends sections of House Bill 2228 related to the transfer of development rights from resource lands. This bill extends the deadline for an owner of a Metolius resort site to notify the Department of Land Conservation and Development that the owner has elected to seek approval for a small-scale recreation community, and extends the deadline for the owner to seek approval from a county. The bill also specifies that a small-scale recreation community must be sited on land that is planned or zoned for forest use or rural use and not subject to statewide land use planning goals related to agricultural lands or forest lands, among other provisions. The bill has no fiscal or revenue impact. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 3313A.
Senator Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we stuck it to the backside of the developers and the county, this is a bone, so I'm going to throw them the bone. I'll be an aye.
Seeing no further discussion, the question now arises upon third reading, final passage of House Bill 3313A. Those of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenderson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 19 ayes.
House Bill, I'm going to finish this before I look at all those lights. House Bill 3313A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. All right, Senator Ferrioli.
A vote explanation, Madam President.
Proceed.
Thank you, ma'am. Governor Tom McCall wrote a book, Fire at Eden's Gate, and in that book, one of the most famous sayings that Oregonians have considered to be an icon of what it means to be an Oregonian was penned, and it became a very, very famous catchphrase. It was, come visit, but don't stay. But there was more to what he said. It was, come visit, but don't stay, unless you're willing to meet Oregon's high standards for development and environmental protection. Mr. President, Madam President, I heard on the floor here earlier that this is a bone that we're tossing to a developer who met those high standards, that this is a consolation prize for people who come to Oregon and are lied to officially by the governor and the process, who are bamboozled by the administrative pitfall, which is, we will tell you one thing and do another. So, Madam President, I voted no on this bill, even knowing that it marginally improves the situation that exists in Jefferson County. Marginally, Madam President. I still feel deeply embarrassed by the way people in Jefferson County have been treated over this whole series of events. I believe that Oregon's land use laws are now in deep jeopardy, and I believe that this body and our sister chamber on the other side embarrassed themselves in a way that will have repercussions for decades. For that reason, Madam President, I voted no.
Thank you. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you. And I know I should have done this before. I need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Is there any objection? Go ahead. State your conflict.
At least one of the parties affected by this bill is represented by the law firm in which my husband is a partner. Thank you.
Conflict so noted. Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Out of an abundance of caution, I too should have declared a potential conflict of interest in that my family owns land in the Metolius Basin.
Any objection that she stated that conflict? So noted for the record. Senator Bates.
Madam President, I'd like to change my vote on House Bill 2020. It will not affect the outcome.
Is there any objection that Senator Bates would like to change his vote on House Bill 2020? Seeing none, how do you vote?
I'd like to change my vote from an aye to an nay.
Note that Senator Bates votes no on House Bill 2020. Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Madam President. Since everyone else is declaring conflicts, I guess I will, too, a potential conflict.
Any objection
conflict?
That Senator Burdick cites a conflict on 3313?
No. Go ahead.
My family owns a cabin in Jefferson County in the Montolius River Basin.
So noted for the record. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3369, Water Supply Management and Public Emergency.
Recognize Senator Walker?
Yeah, I know. All right. 3369. House Bill 3369 sets forth good water policy and practices that will encourage both economic development and water conservation. House Bill 3369 contains three key provisions. First, the Water Resources Commission is directed to establish standards for borrowers obtaining loans issued from the Water Development Fund and to modify allowable fees, including application and loan processing fees. Article 11(i)(1) of the Oregon Constitution establishes the Water Development Fund to provide financing of loans for construction of water development projects for irrigation, drainage, fish protection, watershed restoration, and municipal uses, and for the acquisition of easements and rights of way for water development projects. Second, the bill, the Water Investment Grant Fund is established separate and distinct from the general fund for the purpose of providing resources to water development projects located in the Columbia River Basin. And finally, House Bill 3369 asks the Water Resources Department to directs them to develop and update every 5 years an integrated state water resources strategy to meet in-stream and out-of-stream water needs. While not provided within this bill, it is anticipated that $10 million in Article 11(i)(1) bonds and up to $3.5 million in lottery revenue bonds will be authorized this session to fund these key provisions. Colleagues, this is an historic bill in many ways. Oregon is one of two western states without a formal water supply plan. House Bill 3369 changes that. Oregon's economy, if you hadn't noticed, is in the tank. This bill changes that by creating lasting family wage jobs in Umatilla County and the surrounding region through implementation of the Water Basin Aquifer Storage and Recovery Project. This bill does not do the following. This bill does not put environmental benefits above any other consideration when applying for grants. There are a range of priorities, including economic, social, and cultural benefits. This bill does not require 25% be dedicated in-stream, even where state grants are involved. This bill does not require irrigators to meet new requirements of the bill for everything they do, only for things that they apply for the grant for. This bill does not elevate tribal governments above the legal authority of Oregon Water Resources Department. It merely encourages collaboration and partnerships with our tribal governments and other interested stakeholders. Colleagues, there's been a lot of misinformation about this bill, because much of the policy, after some of the debate took place in policy committees, took place in my subcommittee, which I am proud to co-chair with Representative Bob Jensen. This bill spent a lot of time being worked, and this is very historic for Oregon. In the words of Janet Newman, a Lewis and Clark professor of water law, House Bill 3369 is clearly well-intentional and sensible and deserves your support. This came out of the governor's H2O advisory group, and two of our representatives have worked their hearts out to bring this to you. Colleagues, this is a great piece of work. I'm very impressed. Is it perfect? Probably not. Nothing we do here is perfect. You might find that you want to make some adjustments as we implement the program, but I think it's a great way to begin this process of developing a water strategy for Oregon and bringing economic development to our region. So I would urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. Question of the carrier.
Does a carrier yield to a question?
I do.
Thank you, Madam President. Does this bill give the Water Resources Commission the authority to require the Land Conservation Development Commission to amend its goals or rules or to adopt new goals or rules?
Thank you, Senator, and I appreciate that you gave me that question before so I could ask the analyst, Monica Brown, one of our brightest and finest analysts in legislative fiscal.
No, the answer is no. Oregon Water Resources Department is making the rules. They specify the roles and functions of the various state agencies, so DLCD may be one of those agencies, but Water Resources sets the rules. Also, in the bonding part of the bill, it does not tromp on any existing authority of DLCD or any other agency. So, in short, your answer is no.
Great. Thank you very much. Madam President, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'm going to vote no on this bill. There have been so many issues raised about this particular piece of legislation. The biggest problem I have, of course, is the process. And I want to talk a little bit about the process. Really, this bill didn't really come to be what it is until late this month, late in June. I believe it was the 22nd before we actually saw what was in this. And the interest groups on this bill that are on different sides never really felt like they got an opportunity to have this public testimony, public hearings. That's one major problem. The second thing is that I believe, and I may be wrong, but I believe that this bill would not pass on this floor if it was not for a poison pill in a completely unrelated bill, House Bill 3199. And I don't think this bill, on its own merits, has the support of the majority of this floor. But because of the fact that we're going to play parliamentary games, and we're going to put poison pills in other bills, that holds good projects hostage. A number of our good colleagues feel like they have to vote for this piece of legislation because the project being held hostage is so valuable to the state of Oregon. And I think that the process bothers me more than anything on this piece of legislation, because I think that we ought to be above this. If this is a bill with merit, we should vote for it. If it's a bill that can stand on its own, it shouldn't have poison pills that make well-intentioned members and put them in a Sophie's choice of being able to pick between the worst of two evils. And I think that's unfortunate, and I urge a no vote. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. I stand in support of this bill, and I want to thank the co-chairs of the Ways and Means Committee and Jefferson Smith, Representative Justice Jefferson Smith, for working on this bill. Everybody has received all the information on this. I'm going to be very short, just that I'm very supportive of this bill. I just want to point out one other fact, that the consequences, long-term consequences of this bill are probably very important, because we may at some point be able to recharge our underground water capacity on a large scale. I think that's something that people have missed in this. We have a fellow out there in Eastern Oregon, Fred Ziari, who's has done a lot of studies on this thing, I think the most significant thing of this is this can be done on a large scale, and it's probably going to be a worldwide significant action, and we'll look back, I think, in 5 or 10 years and say the Oregon Senate and the Oregon House and the Oregon Legislature passed this bill. I urge your support. Thank you.
Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Madam President. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I wanted to share with you a couple of thoughts I have about this bill, which I believe sets forth good water policy and practices that will encourage both economic development and water conservation in the state of Oregon. Last year, during the interim, I organized a series of water forums around the state to hear directly from Oregonians about what they thought we should be doing at a state level in order to make sure that we're using our existing and our limited water resources wisely. What you see in this bill, and in particular the integrated water strategy, is the result of what we heard. And colleagues, we heard loud and clear support for an integrated approach to managing our water resources. Some of you may know that we have 14 different natural resource agencies that serve the state of Oregon. 12 of those have jurisdiction over water. And what I see is the beginning of a more efficient and effective way to manage our water resources, take a look at that as an integrated approach, and make sure that this scarce resource that we take for granted is planned for in a wise and sound manner for the future. I also want to mention that in addition to hearing from over 300 Oregonians directly all around the state, the governor's office convened a group of diverse stakeholders to talk about and work through an integrated strategy approach, as you see in this bill. That diverse group of stakeholders came up with a consensus approach that you see reflected in this bill. And I also would like to address the issue about not having adequate input. There are certain parts of this bill that were heard both in the House and Senate committee, in addition to the Ways and Means Subcommittee. I would like to especially thank the work of Representatives Jensen and Representative Jefferson Smith. I served as Representative Jensen's vice chair for three sessions in the House on the Water Subcommittee. And Senator Jensen and I share a passion for water issues. We share a passion for making sure that the interests of all stakeholders and Oregonians are taken into account when we're looking at the future of Oregon's water. So I believe that this is a good bill. It's a consensus bill. It will help move our state forward. As you've heard, we're one of only two states in the West. It does not have an integrated plan. So I applaud the work that's been done also to further the work of the Aquifer Storage Recovery Project in the Umatilla, and I urge and I vote. Thank you.
Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Madam President. I, too, have lots of concerns about this bill, and particularly being in the last day of session, very clear that all of those cannot be clearly addressed. I'm going to support this bill today as a result of some of the conversations regarding some of the specific issues that I have about this bill in moving forward with that, although I believe it needs a lot more discussion, at least within this chamber, than we have had. I share the concern that the good senator from Sherwood had about why we have the poison pill and the other. I also share a concern in reading the Christmas tree bill today that there is, notwithstanding this bill or any other bill, still an allocation for the very good project in northeast Oregon, and wondering why the money being there, why this bill is even necessary except for other purposes. So a lot of issues I have with it, but based on the policy discussion to what I could get to, I believe those issues are valid, and as a result, I'll be supportive of this today.
Senator Verger.
Thank you, Madam President. I believe that if we are going to serve the interest of all the stakeholders and Oregonians, then we need to do something, and that is that we need to take the Umatilla project, after it is completed, we take it with a lot of good analysis, go back and look at this bill, and see how much of this regulatory process is necessary as a result of that particular project. I strongly support the Umatilla project. I think this bill needed more work. I think it needed more input from more diverse groups. I'm going to support it today, but I believe that the Umatilla project, again, can serve Oregon best if it comes back and is used as a benchmark. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Schrader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, I will also support this bill today. However, I will echo the concerns of my colleagues, Senator Metzger and Senator Verger, as we move forward. Certainly, I think this is something that we can loop back and look at again in subsequent sessions. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Walker, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Madam
hold
Chair.
It. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, while I strongly favor the Umatilla Aquifer Project, as I suspect everyone in this chamber does today, that's not what 3369 is about. Unfortunately, the provisions of this bill will essentially prevent the remainder of the entire Columbia River Basin, which is about two-thirds of the landmass of Oregon, from ever accessing state funds for water development or storage projects. The network of ecological and environmental conditions that are required by this bill will effectively preclude them from ever meeting the requirements of this bill. These conditions include net environmental public benefits, water velocity, temperature, stream flow levels, and other conditions that provide habitat for sensitive, threatened, or endangered species. Colleagues, stream flow conditions that support life stages of native fish species and that will allow for their introduction of native fish species. What does that leave out? Protection of return flows and their in-stream volumes, protection of peak flows, protection of ecological flows, progress toward attainment of 303 delisted water bodies regarding temperature and dissolved oxygen, social, cultural, public benefits, including promoting public health and welfare, recreational use, water, outdoor schools, and hunting and fishing, and most onerous of all, colleagues, elimination of non-point source pollutant transport. That single little phrase would simply eliminate any irrigation return flow in any project that was developed for storage or water development using state funds in the state of Oregon in the future. The requirements must be met and improved by ODF&W regarding fish habitat. must be met, and by ODEQ regarding water quality before Oregon Water Resource Department is authorized to approve water development or storage projects for funding. No one in eastern or southern Oregon could possibly meet these standards. I mean, 90%, well more than 90% of the streams in southern and eastern Oregon are 303D listed for temperature alone, and virtually all those streams are listed because it is normal environmental background temperature. It can't be fixed. It's a good idea, stuffed with water watch wishes for environmental impediments. And may I read from prepared literature here, please? Madam President? May I read from prepared literature?
Please do.
The floor letter from Oregon Water Resources Congress. And folks, these are the people who know water development, and they know water storage. They're the people who have done it for the last 50, 100 years. They're the ones that do it all day, every day. The Oregon Water Resources Congress has a lengthy history of support for the Umatilla ASR project and continues to do so today. House Bill 3369 is about the Umatilla ASRA project only to the extent that it provides the project an exemption from new environmental requirements that are otherwise prescribed for all future water supply development projects in the Columbia River Basin. The Umatilla is written out of all the other onerous requirements, setting precedent for future projects through environmental policy prescriptions that don't even apply to Oregon's poster child project. The Umatilla ASR project is not credible public policy. House Bill 3369 contains no money for the Umatilla or other projects. Funding for the Umatilla ASR project and statewide water planning is contained in Senate Bill 5535. Funding for the Umatilla build-out through GO Bond authority for $10 million in 2009-11 and an additional authority for $15 million in 2011-13 is actually found in Senate Bill 5505. House Bill 3369 is linked to funding through a poison pill amendment, as was previously mentioned, in House Bill 3199-13 amendment, Section 40A, that effectively defunds the provisions of Senate Bill 5535 if HB 3369 does not pass. But, Madam President, in my opinion, this is no way to make legislation. Colleagues, this bill will prevent anyone other than the Umatilla project from storing or developing water in Oregon within the Columbia River Basin as long as this law is on the books. There is no way that any of these projects, any of these areas, can meet the requirements of this law. I urge a no vote. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Walker, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know what this poison pill idea, where it came from, but quite frankly, when the bill was in my committee, all the money and the policy were tidied up in one bill. When it goes to capital construction, they separate it out and they do what they do. They did that to one of my other bills as well. They send the money somewhere else. It was not intentionally done to separate and then reunite these bills, forcing you to do what you need to do. And quite frankly, let me touch on the stakeholder issue. You know, I'm filing a Capital Club complaint against a lobbyist this session. And I'm doing that because this lobbyist represented that I did not invite people to the table during a stakeholder group meeting on one of my bills. And that was a bald-faced lie. And this lobbyist knows that, and I'm going to file a complaint because I'm kind of ticked about it. This is a different story. This was a stakeholder group where everyone was invited, and then some of them just walked away. They walked away for whatever reason, and they didn't stay at the table. Yet I can tell you, from personally having discussions with the two good representatives who have been behind this bill, they have striven to meet every objection that those folks needed to have met who walked away from the table. So I think they got a pretty good deal for not even staying at the table. So let me just close by saying that Oregon has a water problem. As much as it rains here, you would not believe we have a water problem, but we do. Our surface water is nearly fully allocated during summer months, and groundwater is showing declines in quantity and quality in some areas. This is I've said it before, an historic bill in the sense that we actually are going to figure out where our water is, how we can store it, how we can use it. We've been doing a pretty good job with that. And I will note that the Oregon Constitution that we're going to use, Article 11I, we haven't used it in a while. You saw another bill that I brought forward, Senate Bill 334, that was Article 11D. And that was passed by the voters 77 years ago, and we're finally now implementing bonding authority for that bill. Well, this is another little-used provision. We have not used bonds and loans under this section of the Constitution in a number of years. So we've had to add some FTE to Water Resources and the Department of Justice to handle these applications, and that you will find in two separate bills. It's not a poison pill. It just ended up in two separate bills. It's in the bonding bill, and it's in your little Christmas ornament bill. So, colleagues, it wasn't a big scheme or some treachery. It was just simply the way it fell out. Nonetheless, this is a darn good bill. It's a great bill for Oregon. It's a great bill for rural Oregon, and it blends that urban-rural divide I've been hearing you all clamor about all session long. And the good senator from District 5 is right. This project in the Umatilla Basin has been a good project, and we are going to learn great things from this project and how we can apply it around the state. So, colleagues, I would urge an aye vote for this bill today. This is a great bill to take home from the 75th Legislative Assembly. I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3369B. Those of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, President Courtney. Excuse, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 3369, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3480, building chemical exposures, members of the Oregon National Guard, promoting concurrency.
Senator Carter.
Thank you, Madam President. House Bill 3480 authorizes the Oregon Military Department to make payments to members of the Oregon National Guard who were exposed to hexavalent chromium while serving around Basra, Iraq. The measure includes a one-time general fund appropriation of $30,000. Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 3480 as amended.
Seeing no further discussion, the question now arises upon third reading by passage of House Bill 3480. Those with opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney. Excuse, Boquist, when I
House Bill 3480, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3483, on unemployment insurance, court emergency.
Recognize Senator Carter.
Thank you again, Madam President. House Bill 3483, as amended, expands eligibility for unemployment insurance benefits to economically distressed workers who are in approved training programs approved by the Employment Department and the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. These benefits are capped at $9.2 million, and the program sunsets on January 2, 2012. The Employment Department will issue a report on the program by March 1, 2011. An additional 2,400 claimants per year are expected to be eligible for unemployment insurance benefits as a result of this change. The bill also provides for an extension of UI benefits to eligible claimants who have exhausted benefits if no other benefit extension is forthcoming from the federal government. Total payments of no more than $30 million are authorized, and the extension would apply for the period October 4, 2009 through January 2, 2010. The Ways and Means Committee recommend approval of House Bill 3483A.
Seeing no further discussion, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of 3483. Those with the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Pass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. President Courtney. Excuse, Boquist, voting no. Atkinson, George, Cruz, Starr, 25 ayes.
House Bill 3483, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator George, for what purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation.
Vote explanation. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I voted no on this. Look, there are a number of ways that we could change the unemployment insurance program to be more fitting in a recession like this. But what we've done this session is continue to load up the unemployment insurance program in a way that I fear will just significantly raise the rates on employers. And all of these different increases and all of these different ways to access the trust fund, I think jeopardizes the trust fund long term and raises the rates on Oregon businesses who are already struggling. And that's why I voted no. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Madam President. I would ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to vote on Senate Bill 936. I was on the House floor trying to bring order out of chaos at the time the vote was taken.
The bill was already transmitted to the House, and so we will not
too
be
late.
Able to
okay.
Allow you to vote. Sorry about that. All right. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the Senate. I move that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take final action on supplemental list number 2.
Senator Devlin moves that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take final action on supplemental list number 2. Senator Devlin. It's not debatable. If there's no objection.
Good motion should pass.
There's no objection, so ordered. Without objection, the Senate will revert to proposition and motion so ordered. Recognize at ease. I don't see your light, Senator Ferrioli. Now I can recognize Senator Ferrioli. I'm recognizing Senator Devlin, I guess.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Democrats, be at ease for 5 minutes, please. Request to be at ease for 5 minutes.
Senator Ferrioli.
Senate Republicans will caucus for 4 minutes, Madam President, by the water cooler.
All right. We're at ease for 4 minutes.
Ferrioli? All right. Could I have your attention, please, my fellow senators? We are going to take up the final several bills, but you know it's that time. We don't get to do this unless we have staff, and we're only as good, I've said many times, as our individual staffs and the staffs that help us get through these sessions. So right here on the left aisle, step up. I want them all forward. Dexter, get all the people forward. Legislative Council, please come forward to the aisle. Now, I've talked to Dexter Johnson. They prepared 4,200 bills, and they also put together 5,000 amendments. I'm going to tell you, as a lawyer, the kind of physical exhaustion it takes just to draft a legal sentence is unimaginable. And they work tirelessly to the point that Senator Ferrioli and Senator Devlin and myself are going to work tirelessly to figure out a way to limit the number of bill introductions by individual legislators. And so we're working hard on that. But I will tell you, this staff is as good a legal office staff anywhere in the entire country. And we deserve to give them an incredible standing ovation for what they've done for us this session. And they'll do for us again in February. So Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council, right there. Reeves, Miller, Nash, take that. Now, you stay standing. Oh, yeah, this is going to be fun. Now to the right, to the north aisle, is Legislative Revenue. They had to prepare a revenue impact statement on all those bills that they introduced. 500 of them dealt with actual numbers. They had to take care of 100 House committee meetings and 85 Senate meetings. This is the Legislative Revenue Office, which had new places to live this session, as you may know, the Capitol. They had to adjust to that. And they have informed me they are the best-looking staff of all the staff in the building. So Legislative Revenue, big step prize for our Legislative Revenue Office, Paul Warner and his group. Okay? Now, by a voice vote, if you think Legislative Council is the best-looking staff, say aye. Aye! That's not real good. If you think Legislative Revenue is the best-looking staff, say aye. Aye! Well, Dexter, you ain't got it, baby. Listen, thanks so very much. I appreciate that for all the great work you've done. Also, I would like all the pages on the floor to please come forward. All the pages, come forward, line up across here. Where's my page? Where's my list of pages? No, you didn't. Get me it. It's on my off. Well. All right, line up. Come on, line up and face out. Don't be timid. You can all sit down now if you want to. You can sit down, but don't leave. You can all sit down back there. This is the floor staff that's lining up. Are they all here, Judy? Get them. This is the floor staff, which, well, they take care of us. They smile at us. They open gates. They open doors. They open the bar. They come and bring us things. Here they are. Let me know when you're all here. All right, when I call your name, you at least raise your hand. Stacia Martin. Justin Freeman. Nick Herman. Stand up, Nick. Stand up. Abby Stevens. David Imerson. Anna Ryboken. Riley Schaff. Lauren Yamasaki. Chuck Bradish. Chuck left us. But He's thinking of us, and we're thinking of him. Please, the floor staff, the best in the country, the best of any state legislature. Now, who else is here? No, they're not doing that. No. Services, facility services. This is the group that turns on the water, turns out the lights. Never was that more obvious to me than right after Labor Day and the fire that hit the governor's office. And I came in the building within 4 hours of the fire, and the place was a total mess. Legislative administration people in many ways had to step up. These are the individuals that truly make it possible to live in this building morning, noon, night, 24/7 in terms of the physical procedures, as well as many other things. So once again, Scott Burgess, legislative administration, how about a big round of applause as they are all assembled here for all the great work that they do. So legislative council, legislative administration, legislative physical, and we're not going to get, legislative physical's coming up later, right? They're going to come up, because they're still working on bills. So listen, job well done. Thank you very much. Thanks for putting up with each and every one of us, particularly me. We can be difficult personalities. You're great. We need you. You've made us look good. We appreciate it very much. So thank you very much. And now we go back to the regular order of Senate business. All right. I'm sorry. Is that it?
That's where we are. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
The Senate will come back to order, and we recessed under the order of propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 93.
Senator Walker moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 93. To your motion.
Well, thankfully, I have my pony. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known what to say. And I'm going to name my pony Trigger just because I feel like it. Senate Bill 93 allows the Oregon Judicial Department to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the federal government to intercept federal tax refunds to offset debt owed to the department for past due liquid and delinquent accounts related to crime victim restitution payments, compensatory fines, other fines, costs, and assessments. There you go. You got it. The revenue and fiscal impact of this measure is dependent upon the passage of federal legislation and an agreement reached between the state and federal governments. If these criteria are met, the department has stated it would require additional position authority. Any future revenue generated by this measure would be distributed based upon current statute. Lastly, the measure resolves conflicts with Senate Bill 270 related to courts and makes a minor substantive change in the collection fee provision by removing specific references to private collection agencies, the United States Financial Management Service, and the Internal Revenue Service. Thus, the measure provides more general authority to recover a collection fee charged by any private or public entity. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 93 as amended, and I would concur in the adopt amendments and repass the bill. I think I already said.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 93 will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Monzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, President Courtney. Excuse, Boquist, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 93, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Manus Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 158.
Senator Manus Anderson moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 158.
I'm not lucky to have a pony, so I'm going to wing it. This deals with the department's health care licensing and certification program. It's a number of health care facilities and agencies, and it's really important to promote patient safety and better health outcomes in all of these. And this cannot be accomplished unless all appropriate health care facilities and agencies fall under regulatory oversight roles and responsibilities for the industry. And we have to make sure that there are clear definitions and that they are all adequately funded. Between 1974 and 2007, survey inspections have increased from 80 per year to 352 investigations, and complaints have risen from 35 to 130 per year, and the number of facilities licensed or certified have increased from 367 to 536, and we have been decreasing the funding to this agency. We have now set up fees that will help fund this very important program so that the most vulnerable are well taken care of. I feel that, especially with the ambulatory surgical centers, I want to thank that agency or those centers for coming together to work on developing a very fine bill.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments on Senate Bill 158 and repass the bill will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, President Courtney. Excuse, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Telfer, 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 158, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 772.
Senator Bonamici moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 772. To your motion.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 772 is the Manufactured Housing Landlord-Tenant Coalition Bill that passed on this floor a couple of weeks ago, 29-0, with one excused. The amendment that was added in the House is a conflict amendment to make this bill conform with Senate Bill 929, which deals with submetering of water in manufactured home parks. That is one portion of Senate Bill 772 that was addressed in this bill. This will just make them consistent. I urge your aye support. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Verger.
Thank you, Madam President. I need to declare a conflict of interest. I own a home in a manufactured home park.
Senator Verger notes a potential conflict of interest. It shall be noted for the record. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 772 will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Metzger, Montezinderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney. Excuse, Boquist, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 158, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. The Senate will now take action on the Conference Committee report on House Bill 3099. Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Madam President. I move the Senate adopt the Conference Committee report and repass HB 3099.
Senator Metzger moves that the Senate adopt the Conference Committee report and repass House Bill 3099. To your motion.
Thank you, Madam President. House Bill 3099B modifies exclusive farm use exceptions in Oregon land use regulation. In the conference committee, we made a few changes to the bill. The amendments remove additional requirements of replacement built dwellings not in compliance with codes, be consistent with the techniques used during or after the area in which the dwelling was constructed. The amendments restored the conditional exception for aerial fireworks display businesses. It removed a provision that a permit or approval to construct a replacement dwelling issued by a county on or after January 1, 1990 is valid even if the permit has expired and may be used for construction that has begun before January 2, 2020. And it removed the repeal of ORS 215.297, which relates to verifying continuity for approval of certain uses in exclusive farm use zones. I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion, Senator Starr.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, the same issue that was in the bill when I voted against it and spoke against it when it was here on the floor, the first time still in the bill, urge a no vote.
Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Metzger, do you wish to close? He does not. The question is on the adoption of the Conference Committee report and repassage of House Bill 3099. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be repassed will answer aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Montezinderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, President Courtney. Excuse, Boquist, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 19 ayes.
House Bill 3099, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed.
Other business of the Senate. In fact, immediately I discharge Senator Brian Boquist from the Conference Committee on House Bill 2227 and appoint Senator Jason Atkinson to the Conference Committee on House Bill 2227. This is where we're at. We're going to recess until 6:30, I believe, right, Judy? As we await the House. We don't have that many bills left, but we're going to recess to 6:30. By that time, some bills will get here and some paperwork, but we may have to be on and off a few times after that as well. We really do not have many bills left, but that's our situation. So with that, Senator Devlin, do you wish to make an announcement?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Senate colleagues, Senate Democrats will caucus for 20 minutes at 6:10.
At 6:10?
Yes.
Senator Ferrioli?
Mr. President, Senate Republicans will meet in our caucus room at 5 p.m.
Okay. Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, I'm going to take the good new senator from Central Oregon to the Gold Man for her very first time, and we're going to meet in her office in about 15 minutes. If anybody would like to join us, be sure to take them with us.
Okay. Are there any other announcements at this time? All right. So the Senate will be in recess until 6:30 tonight, 6:30 p.m. Thank you. Okay.